From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Fireaway Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We're going to take the questions from the rebelgrove.com message board. Good many of them there. Get to as many of them as we can in the next, hour 10, hour 15. You know about how long these things last every single day. We appreciate the good people at Oxford Exxon coming to town this weekend. Stop by, pick up some things for the tailgating. If you're headed out to the Grove on Saturday, three slabs of ribs for $33. You got pulled pork. You got quart-sized sides. Give them a call or just stop in and let them take care of you. You can sign up the SpeedPass Plus app, the Exxon Mobile Rewards. A lot of ways to save money there with Blue Sky and the Oxford Exxon, including following the Oxford Exxon on Twitter because it is Free Gas Friday. You answer their question with Jeff. You'd be clever. You want a free tank of gas before you leave town this weekend, all courtesy of the Oxford Exxon, and again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. You can criticize Corey's picks. They're almost as bad as mine. And then after that, you can ask for the they're not quite as bad, but they're bad. You can ask for you can ask for a quote on a vehicle. That won't be bad. He'll get right to the bottom line. He'll get it to you within 15 minutes in business hours. It's the way to do it, really. It's the most efficient way you will ever go about car shopping. You get your quote, and the rest is kind of up to you. You can take that quote and shop it around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many others, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great Ford product. Great service after the sale. Corey wants to be your truck guy. He wants to be your car guy. If you don't know what that means, just call him. He'll prove it to you. 662-257-1900. Mention that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast, any of our family of podcasts. There's a beer garden coming up today. There's a greatest pod in the South that's up today without me, which is another story, but I think I've got it fixed. So anyway, mention any of those. You'll save $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory.
Good news for you guys. It is in lieu of our, Night at Funky's last night did not do that. So the Blue Delta Jeans is going to give you a chance to win a gift certificate here from the podcast this morning. Going to give you a trivia question in a second. First one to tweet the answer to me and Neil can win this. I'll mail it out. We'll mail it out. We'll get it to you however we need to do that. But a $200 gift certificate to Blue Delta Jeans. You can design your jeans. You can do fit match. You can get some of those Holland and Sherry that Neil and I have been bragging about so much, or start your collection with the basic denim where you design the accents, the thread colors, make them yours. And once you do that, you kind of got a virtual closet where you just call them, order them online, and go, hey, I want this kind now. I want this stitching. Don't only have to get fitted one time unless you start dropping weight like Mr. McCready over here. Then you might need a few alterations. But with Blue Delta, let's get to the trivia question now. There's no reason to wait to the middle of the show considering the show is not live. Little ULM trivia today in honor of Mr. McCready again.
Hell
over here.
Yeah.
Here's the question. So ULM has a long history against SEC programs. They even won some of them.
We do.
Give me the SEC teams that ULM has beaten, the years that happened for each team, and the scores of those games. So every time ULM has beaten an SEC team in history, I need a year, an opponent, and a score in a tweet. It'll fit into 280 characters. So send it to myself, send it to Mr. McCready, and you can win with Blue Delta Jeans. So going to kick it off. We'll go through these. Again, we're just going to kind of scatter shoot. We are going to give some off-the-cuff, off-the-top-of-our-head opinions and a hot one right out of the gate here from Grizzly Reb 89. Who's the head coach, football and baseball, in 2021, Mr. McCready?
Who's the head coach in football and baseball in 2021? Why do I have to go first?
I'm going too.
All right.
You handle football, I handle baseball, right? That's fair.
I will say that the football coach in 2021, I'll say this is 18.
All right.
Ooh,
I think this is where we got this question last year, and I goofed around and said Bobby Petrino when Ole Miss plays Louisville in 2021.
Bobby Petrino would be laughing all the way to the bank, because if Louisville wants to fire him,
they have to pay him like $78 million or something.
Yeah, Louisville wants to fire him, and it will cost Louisville more than $14 million.
Yeah, they don't have $14 million.
So. No one does.
It's a hard question.
It's a really hard question, because if you don't say Matt Luke, people assume that you're saying he fails, and in this scenario, it would mean that he failed.
Yeah.
Although I don't think it would be his failure. I think it would be just an insurmountable mountain to climb. I'm going to say Matt Luke, because I think Ole Miss desperately wants it to work. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunity, and I do believe this offseason he's going to put his stamp on the program, and I think you're going to see improvement. Maybe not in the win-loss column next year, but I think it's going to be a different product on the field.
Yeah, they're going to allow him to make some changes and then see how that goes. Ross Bjork, as long as his tenure is solid here and stable, he is all about stability.
Well, after today's scathing report in Neil's picks, yes. I don't know how stable
collusion
he is.
And whatnot, frankly.
Yeah, I mean.
But he's all about stability. And I think obviously he wants desperately, but for Matt to be a success, I think it would take catastrophic on-field production for Matt not to get the time for this question to be Matt Luke, frankly.
And then baseball 2021, that's 18, 19, 20.
That's almost four more years. At that point, Mike Bianco would have been here 20 years.
I would have to guess, because I kind of think Mike's approaching that point where maybe he's going to back off and watch his kids a little bit. I could be dead wrong. You know Mike a lot better than I do. And then I don't know who his replacement would be. I mean, I just have no clue.
You know, it's funny. I mean, John Cohen must listen to the podcast, because last year when I had this question, said who replaces Mike Bianco, I love Chris Lamonis. I've been on him for a while. I thought he would be an excellent fit at a Mississippi school, and turns out he's at a Mississippi school, just not this one.
Where is he, Mississippi College?
Yeah. Belhaven.
Oh, Belhaven.
Yeah, I could see Mike done by 2021. I mean, sure. I mean, because that's all the way through this Gunnar Hoglund tenure, too. I mean, forget the number one recruiting class is finishing up its tenure right now. You know, look, they're not going to – Mike would have to really, really fall off a cliff to get fired. But Mike at some point is going to be done coaching at Ole Miss. And, again, it's been two decades. You know, I don't know, replacements wise, we could, I could go through some names, but it's all just speculation and guesses. Obviously, number one, because Mike just got a 4-year contract, and two, because we're talking 3 years down the road anyway. You know, look, they're going to call Cliff when this thing's up. I don't know if he's leaving East Carolina. He's not leaving East Carolina, but they're going to call Cliff. I think the guy at Dallas Baptist would be really good at a program where you got to manage some resources. A lot of guys. I mean, you know, we'll see what's going on in 3 years. I mean, like I said, Lamonis was a guy that I think is going to succeed in the SEC, and I thought he would have been a really good fit. He's Dan McDonald disciple, and he has a chance to have a pretty successful tenure at Mississippi State. So I don't know. We'll catch back that up at some time. Let's see. I just don't know. They're asking about OCs and DCs, and it's not really about, oh, it's too early, because I get we can have hypothetical conversations, but just going out and going, well, these are the five hot names, that doesn't mean anything. That has nothing to do with who Ole Miss is hiring or not hiring in these spots.
Agreed.
It's going to be about fit. Matt is going to at least not gravitate necessarily to who he knows, but to who he knows. You know, a second degree of separation probably there. And, I mean, you know, look, for an OC spot, it would be dumb to discount anyone with the last name of Roper. Matt is very close with that family. I think that makes a lot of sense. From a DC standpoint, unless you're going to maybe throw out Kane Womack or John Sumrall, I don't know. I have no idea on that front.
Yeah, I get this in the mailbag weekly. And so I almost have gotten where I start the mailbag by just putting them all in one question and say it's too early. It's just too – I don't know. And Matt, I'm sure, has a list – I'm sure he has a plan. He's not going to share that plan. Be silly. There's 7 games left starting tomorrow. There's still half a season left. And I know that there's people out there that want mid-season change. And I guess there's a scenario for it.
It's not 3-2. It's not 4-2.
Yeah, but it's
not maybe 5-2.
Here's the thing. You're not fixing anything midseason.
Yeah. A new DC ain't coming in and all of a sudden you have no missed tackles the next
week. Well, you're not going and hiring. Let's say you're hiring the linebacker coach at Georgia. And I have no idea who that is, so don't go digging it up. I have no idea. He's not coming now.
No.
So just it's
anybody worth their salt's not going, hang on, hey, coach, sorry, I've got to go to Oxford right now. Yeah,
hey,
this
Kirby,
week.
I just got this offer and I know that
peace.
We're yeah, peace out, bro.
I still get a ring, right? Good. All right.
Yeah, this is not happening. Now, if you told me that a guy leaves, the linebacker coach leaves Georgia after the SEC championship game.
Okay.
Okay. Again, look, effective on Black Friday, that's going to have a double entendre in Oxford, in my opinion, on that day.
One day later.
I think we're all on watch starting the next day.
Yeah, that's fair. How would Adonis Creed fare against Rocky in his prime?
Ooh.
Look, we love Adonis. But it's a copy of a copy. He's not as good as Apollo. He's not Apollo.
Oh, hot take.
It's not a hot take. He's not the master of disaster, the Count of Monte Cristo.
God, Apollo Creed was incredible. I still
his 14 nicknames.
I still can't believe Rocky Balboa knocked him off that day in Philly.
Look,
it was a mistake on Creed's part.
Rocky has a great chin. He does.
He does.
He takes a lot of blows.
He takes shots.
Adonis, I don't know, has the same raw power as some other people that Rocky has faced during his career.
Yeah.
So I think Rocky stays on his feet. It at least goes to a decision unless Rocky lands one of those left hooks.
And he what he can do is shock you with the right.
Yeah, and
then
all
come back with that left.
Well, you know, Mickey really made him work that jab in Rocky too, and fight right-handed for a little while there before they switched.
Well,
it,
and so then Apollo really worked with his feet.
Yeah,
got but him. He didn't teach him everything. Didn't teach him everything. Yeah, I guess I'd go Balboa in a decision.
Balboa in a decision.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if I can do that, you know, animatronically for like Rocky 14 or something. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we're doing Rainbow 5 right now where he's like dressed up as a cowboy. I don't know what's going on with that. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, he's like wearing cowboy hats and riding horses in Rainbow 5. I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
He's excited about it.
How old is he, 80?
70-something.
Yeah.
Will 2019 really be that much worse considering the coordinator game plans conflict and either side of the ball is working now? Drop offensive talent but gain considerably in assistant coaching. Well, A, you hadn't seen the assistant coaches changes yet. No offense, but...
But the hypothetical assistant coaches are going to be much better.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Look, next year, what you want to see next year is a young team that, you know, like we mentioned, I mean, we're kind of a broken record, but plays like 12, plays like some of these seasons where, you know, I don't know what the record's going to be, but you look up and you go, okay. You know, kind of like what we talk about right now with Texas A&M and some of those teams a little bit where Matt Corral looks really good or whomever it is, and you've got, you know, Braylon Sanders and Elijah Moore takes a step, and you got Scotty Phillips back, and offensively it looks okay, and then defensively you go, hey, in year two, Kevontae Ruggs is a good player. He's learned from the chicken with his head cut off like he is as a freshman a little bit. Jacquez Jones looks okay, and then all of a sudden this guy's okay, and you go, hey, all right, there's pieces here. Let's see how this thing goes next year in 2020.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think there's a decent chance next season. The record is bad, but there's a little more optimism.
Yeah. You can't fool people's eyes. That's why everybody's upset. Like, that's why, I mean, I'm not really annoyed. I don't care. But it's why I don't put a lot of stock into the guy that goes, why are you guys upset? It's 3-2. It's like, come on. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Look at what's going
on.
Come
on. It's the eye test.
Yeah.
You know what you see. It wasn't that they lost in Baton Rouge. It was the way that they lost in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, they're going to be 4-2 on Saturday. So... But that does, I mean, they're going to win.
You're just how do you chalk up wins like this?
Yeah, Neil's picks, which we're not going to get to the picks today on the podcast because we have a lot of questions, but Neil does pick ULM in a blowout.
Yeah, by 25,000 points.
Yes.
It's I'm shocker. I'm telling you. I've talked to people there this week. I have told people what to expect. I've given comprehensive scouting reports.
Broke it all down. They have our Pro Football Focus login now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I said, dig it. Dig this. Watch this. And you are going to see attacks tomorrow from ULM that are going to look like they had inside information, and guess what they did? So there. That's what you all get for torturing me about the Tunsil thing that I didn't ask. Payback is hell.
Chuck Norris versus Rocky.
Rocky.
In a ring, anywhere else, Chuck Norris.
Yeah, yeah. But
I mean, what are we doing?
Right, but Rocky doesn't.
I mean, if we're getting in the octagon, Chuck's going to win.
Well, yeah, but Rocky learned his lesson with Thunderlips.
Chuck Norris is not a wrestler.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Rocky learned to stay in
Is he in character? Is he Walker, Texas Ranger?
That's a good question.
Is it just Chuck Norris, like on the Bowflex or whatever it is he promotes?
Christy Brinkley on the damn Bowflex is, or whatever that is incredible.
It's Nordic Track, isn't it?
I don't know.
Is it Nordic Track?
She's amazing. She's like 60-something, and she looks like she's 20.
That was in your era, right?
Oh, my God. So in the era. She and I had a hot two-dimensional relationship for years.
She was not aware of it, but yeah.
She was not aware that we were madly in love, but goodness.
Total gym.
She's amazing, and she'd wear those spandex and stuff. And you have to remind yourself she's like 70. How old is Christy Brinkley?
Hold on. That's what you get on Friday podcasts, and we don't do live shows the day before. Chuck Norris is 78.
It's unbelievable.
He's 78. Walker, Texas Ranger was one of the worst cliffhangers that was never solved in TV and movie history.
Yeah, I never watched it.
I didn't either, but I just know this bit of trivia. You know, they finished the regular show, and then they had like a movie years later, one of those TV movie things.
Okay.
And his wife or whatever is like shot in the last scene and like hits the ground.
Oh, God.
And then it just, the show ends.
That's it?
Yeah. Huh. That's how the whole thing ends. It's like, could not get a sequel. Chuck couldn't raise the money there. Christy Brinkley is 64 years old.
It's unbelievable.
She can get Medicare next year, yeah. She's
stunning. I mean, wow. So she was in her 20s when I was a teenager. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed.
In her prime, you say?
In the prime. Her prime was amazing.
All right. Let's see. It's August 2000. This is kind of a rambling question. Okay. It's August 2019. The 18 slate had the Rebs at 5-7 with wins over Arkansas and ULM. Egg Bowl was a disaster after starting out fast. Final score, State 38-17.
Okay.
Longo gone and McGriff gone in that scenario.
Okay, I think they're both gone in any scenario.
Okay.
I think Phil Longo is going to go get a coaching job as a head coach somewhere. I do. There's a lot of buzz there. I think he's going to get one. I don't know whether it's the Rutgers job or whether it's a smaller job in Texas. I think Phil Longo wants to be a head coach. I think he has the support system to become one. I think they're going to move on from McGriff. That's what I anticipate. I have no inside knowledge.
Okay, his actual question, his other question here, which it says, if it was socially acceptable for men to carry purses, would you have wet wipes in them at all times? Would you carry wet wipes?
Yeah, probably.
For a wet wipe.
Yeah.
That's a lot of functions.
It has a lot of function.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, what was the craziest?
When you really think about it.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, the fact that men have stigmatized being able to carry any sort of a bag or anything that would hold things is weird.
I mean, you can get a Merce if you'd like one.
Yeah, but it's not socially acceptable.
A satchel, as they would say in The Hangover.
Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah.
If you carry a Merce or a satchel or anything like that, it's a talking point. You have to explain it away all the time. A woman can carry
your bag has to look a certain way, your briefcase or your computer bag or whatever, I guess.
A woman, meanwhile, can carry the biggest, clunkiest purse and no one says a word.
But, see, I think it goes the other way. That's stupid and overkill.
Of course, that's my point.
There is crap in those purses that they never use, and all it does is lose the keys.
Yes.
My wife has 87 pockets inside that purse, but my fob, when I hand it to her, she will just drop it in, and it might as well go into the black hole of the Bermuda Triangle in the bottom of that purse somewhere. When there is 1,000 pockets, that little thing would slip into somewhere.
Well, just last night, my mother was over here. Of course, Laura lives here, and they both at different points said, can you look for something in my purse? And my answer to both of them was no. I will hand you your purse and you can look for it your own damn self. No, I'm not searching through the black hole.
I'll get that second time. It's a couple times a week where it's, hey, just grab that out of my purse.
Nope. No, here's your purse. You grab it. And if that makes me a bad person, then so be it. I'm not digging through.
Somehow we function with simply some type of billfold or wallet or card carrier or whatever it is.
But I do wonder how we never, as a society.
Do you need to carry a purse?
Well, no, I don't. But I mean, if I ever needed a wet wipe, I don't have one because I don't have any bag to hold one.
Put them in your car.
Well, that's true.
Put them in your console.
That's a thought.
What's in your console?
Sunglasses, my media pass.
Uh-huh.
Chewing gum.
Okay. Change.
Sometimes. Not okay. Often.
I keep a checkbook and deposit slips in there.
I typically will keep a pack of tissues because Carson rides in my car a lot and has allergy issues where he sneezes. Okay. That's about it.
And I get a lot of enjoyment out of one specific pen I have that is a phenomenal pen. So I make sure it stays in my console. There. Well, because I take it home and somebody's grabbing it.
Right.
I will lose my pen. Right. So it stays in my car.
Yeah, I have pens in mine.
Okay.
And typically keep a notebook in there.
Okay. Just in case, whatever.
Well, I mean, we are reporters. You ought to have some of the tools of the trade with you.
Yeah, even though it's changed dramatically.
It has changed dramatically, but still there are times when you need to be able to write something down.
I mean, just not even needing batteries for digital recorders anymore.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, some people.
Because I used to keep AAA batteries all over the place and no longer.
Yeah.
Well, you know, those digital recorders, they only work if your face is like an inch and a half from the recorder,
if
apparently.
If you can't
so,
get that recorder inside the mouth
yeah,
of the person.
Yeah, basically in the jaw.
It won't work.
Wherever chewing tobacco goes, that's where that recorder has to be for it to pick up sound, apparently. I'm unaware. I do not remember that from
a decade
ago.
It's got to go just inside the cheek and gum.
It is, yeah. Just right there.
Yep.
Just on the edge. right there. All right.
Screw you, Chase.
Yeah. Speaking of things that go in your mouth, Oxford Wine and Spirits on College Hill Road next to Lost Pizza. Come in this weekend. Stock up. Probably need some alcohol for the football weekend ahead. Spend $150 or more. And when you do that, mention the podcast. They'll take some money off for you. They'll give you a discount, $10 off liquor, 5% off wine there at Oxford Wine and Spirits, and 5% off anyway just for walking in the door because that's what they are below industry prices. So go in. Tell them we sent you. That's Oxford Wine and Spirits on College Hill Road.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan is the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Great lease deals as well. Check them out today. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We're brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts. HarryAlexander.com is the site. He is a legacy realty agent. Based in Oxford, been here for more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better. Send him an email. He'll take care of you. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Brought to you, speaking of real estate, Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate is the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. Visit her website, meganmphillips.com. That's M-E-A-G-A-N-M. Phillips.com or call her at 205-602-7929. 205-602-7929. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. They also offer one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, located in downtown Holly Springs, 662-252-2321. They deliver wherever you are. And in Oxford, GNM Pharmacy on South Lamar, just finishing up a big remodel. Go in, check it out. they can take care of you, and they deliver local in the Oxford area, even with compliance packaging to make sure you take the medicine when you need to. What's the craziest interview you ever did, and why?
God, I don't know. Craziest interview I ever did? I can't really think of a, quote, crazy interview off the top of my head.
After covering recruiting that long?
Yeah, I'm sure there's something.
Nothing odd, nothing stick out.
I mean, I'm sure there was. I mean, I've just blacked it out. I don't know. What about you?
After a game, nobody ever be weird or anything?
Well, I mean, kind we've had people get weird after games.
You had weird conversations with, what was that kid's name? Oh, crap. The kid that sent the fax in to multiple schools.
Oh, Floyd Raven.
Yeah, Floyd Raven.
I did have some fascinating conversations with Floyd.
Yeah. You start talking to Robert Kimdichie, like, after the Peach Bowl. You know, like, everybody in there is pretty somber. Game obviously did not go well for Ole Miss. Laramie's over on a table with his leg in multiple pieces. And Robert has got, like, a book or something in his locker. And because it's one after bowl games is the only time locker rooms are open to college football and in college football. So we're in the locker room or whatever, and he's got a book over here. And, you know, a couple people were asking questions or something. I think it was Courtney Cronin maybe that saw it. And it was like a book on, like, existentialism or something.
Right.
And she's like, Robert, what that? And all of a sudden, for like the next 10 minutes, Robert just starts talking about this and the stars and the galaxies and life and spirits and whatever. And you go, okay, that's not exactly what we expected today, but here we are. That's second to, I think David Brand alluded to this when he was here inside the studio when Greg Hardy was doing his interview at Ole Miss, and he sat Indian style on the ground. So David sat Indian style next to him. Before you knew it, it was like a powwow where all the media was in an Indian style circle around Greg Hardy. And Greg Hardy was discussing his love of art and stationery for 5 or 10 minutes there that day.
One of the most fun ones I ever had was Jarrell Poe talking about food and cooking and
yeah, he's weight all loss, about the cooking and
weight loss and balancing it. I mean, just it completely got away from anything that was football related, which is the most fun when you
of
ever,
course, yeah.
If you ever interview a subject that's whatever they do, and you get away from that and get into other things, that's when it really gets fun.
Like Kentrell Lockett, somebody's crazy Louisiana relatives and and you just start.
That would be fun when you start. And what happens on the beat, and I'm not making fun of the beat, well, I am, but it is what it is that sometimes we'll get a subject to go that direction. And there's someone on the beat who, I'm working on a story about third down conversion. By God, that's, and then, so you got some.
They don't understand flow, so they won't even let you finish to go back. It's immediately in the middle of him having fun. Well, talk about third downs.
You guys have really struggled on third down. Why do you think that is? And then you just, it's just such a buzzkill.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're not going to have fun here. By the way, speaking of the beat, congratulations to Maddie Lee. Do you know about this?
I know nothing.
Maddie Lee of the Clarion Ledger, who joined us not that long ago at Funky's. Maddie Lee is leaving us very soon.
Already.
Maddie Lee is the new Oklahoma City Thunder beat writer for the Oklahoman.
No kidding. Wow.
How about that?
There you go.
I congratulated her just last night.
Okay. That's cool. Did not know that. I was out of pocket most of yesterday, so I did not see anything yesterday.
I don't know when she's leaving or whatever, but that's awesome.
Okay.
She's a fast mover.
Yeah. Northwestern grads, I mean.
It's Northwestern. It's kind of like ULM. I mean, if you think about people who go to graduate programs at prestigious institutions, their careers take off quickly.
Next question is, how many states have you been to? You're going to blow me out here, but we'll go through the list quickly.
Okay.
Just quickly. Alabama, duh. Yeah. Alaska, no.
No.
Arizona, yes.
Yes.
Arkansas, yes. I've never been to California.
Okay.
Yeah. Colorado, yes.
Yes.
Connecticut,
yes.
No. Delaware,
yes.
Yes. Florida, yes. Georgia, yes. Hawaii, no.
No.
Idaho, no.
No.
Yes to Illinois.
Yes.
Yes to Indiana.
Yep.
Yes to Iowa.
I've never been to Iowa.
I don't think I've been to Kansas unless I'm forgetting it.
I have been to Kansas.
Kentucky, Louisiana, yes. No Maine.
I have been to Maine.
I've been to Maryland. I've been to Massachusetts.
Yep.
Don't remember going to Michigan unless I'm forgetting something.
I have been to Michigan.
I've been to Minnesota.
Yep.
Mississippi, duh. Missouri, yes. Montana, no.
No. I want to go to Montana bad. That's like on the list of places I want to go. Yes.
Nebraska, yes.
Never been to Nebraska.
Nevada, yes.
Yes.
New Hampshire, not that I recall.
I have been to New Hampshire.
New Jersey, yes.
Yes.
New Mexico, no.
Yes.
New York, don't think so.
I've been to New York.
North Carolina, yes.
Yes.
North Dakota, no.
No.
Ohio, yes.
Yes.
Oklahoma, don't think so, actually.
Been to Oklahoma a lot.
Oregon, no.
Never been to Oregon.
Pennsylvania, yes.
Yes.
Rhode Island, no.
Been to Rhode Island.
South Carolina, yes.
Yeah, of course.
South Dakota, no.
No, would like to go there.
Tennessee, yes. Texas, yes. Haven't been to Utah.
No. Yes, yes, and no.
Don't think I've been to Vermont.
I don't think I've been to Vermont either.
I've been to Virginia.
Yes.
Haven't been to Washington.
I've not been to Washington.
Not sure if I've been to West Virginia or not. I actually may have.
I have been to West Virginia.
And no to Wisconsin and Wyoming.
I've been to Wisconsin. I've not been to Wyoming.
Okay. There we go.
So I'm probably 31, 32.
You've been on the Ole Miss beat. You know, Ole Miss did go to Wyoming for a football game. So
that
you
is true.
You could have caught that.
But then I probably would not have been to West Virginia.
Hey, you know.
There's a trade.
NIT for Kermit in year one.
No.
NIT's harder now. So if you're not really, really, really bubbly, you're not going to NIT. It's for regular season champions for the most part.
Yeah,
now.
I do not think they'll make the NIT. I'm negative. I'll get lit up for that. Someone will say, see, he's out to get you. See?
Well.
He's out to get you.
You're not saying they're making the tournament, so.
I don't think that is a – if for the people that do – I do not think that is a fair way to judge year one of the Kermit Davis era by whether they make the postseason. I don't think that's fair. I won't be the one that does it. If they make it, it's a major achievement. It's a – they got hot. They got played above their heads. I'm judging the Kermit –
it's not an indictment when they don't.
It's not an indictment at all if they don't. It's – the indictment for them will be if in 2 years from right now the talent level is basically the same, you will know that you just changed faces in that building.
What if Bianco blows another regional with a top eight seed again? Entirely possible. Well, yeah, postseason baseball, anything's possible. He's got a 4-year deal. If they lose in a home regional again, I do think he goes into the next season on some semblance of a hot seat. There's no doubt about
that. He's going into the damn Delta State game on a hot seat, okay?
That's a good point. That will be no significant postseason, would be no postseason advancement with the number one signing class in the country throughout their tenure. So, yes, that's a huge deal. If Ole Miss does not win a regional next year, that means they will have gone to one super regional since 2009, which is a problem. So, yeah, there'd be some hot seat in 2019, 2020, whatever that would be, 2020, I guess. If that's the case, I think they probably win a regional this time, although there's a couple things I do want to see. I mean, I don't think they have a legitimate Friday night arm. I think Mike manages staffs much better when he knows exactly who that ace is, who that alpha is on his team. And right now, I don't know who that is. I think there's kind of – they've got a lot of really good pitchers. They've got a ton of really good pitchers. They don't have the one guy that sticks out and goes, that's the asshole. And that's kind of necessary sometimes. So I want to see how they manage that. I want to see, as the spring gets here, who that might be. And then I'll have a little better idea of what I think. Because offensively, they're going to be really, really good. But got some things to figure out. I mean, it's high-class problems, but it's problems nonetheless.
It's funny. I was watching Theo Epstein's press conference Tuesday. And he referenced he thought the Cubs would be pissed off next year. Mm-hmm. Thought they would play with more edge. He thought that this loss, this disappointment would fuel them. Was pretty resolute about it. Seemed to be speaking from not a position of hope, but a position of fact. That was a devastating night. I watched those kids after that game. You were down in the working and I was up writing a column or whatever it was that I was doing, and I watched those kids and they were crushed. Do they play pissed off this next year, or is that personality not there to do that?
Well, I mean,
I don't mean like, you know, where you're idiots about it, but where you have an edge to you.
Well, the thing is, and this dovetails on the conversation we continue to have about a relatively meaningless regular season. Nobody spin that out of context. they played pissed off every week until then. They had a great regular season where they were gritty and pissed off and tough and everything. And,
yeah. It remains.
You know, it's just 1 week, one day. I mean,
it remains the most baffling thing. It was one day. You know what's funny about it is that a lot of those doubleheader days, no matter what the stakes are, doubleheaders can be weird for baseball teams.
The tone was set when James MacArthur struggled in inning one.
I've talked to baseball people who will tell you, I never want to play one. I never want a doubleheader. You know, every Cub just about asked to say, what was the genesis of your trouble? They pointed at a doubleheader in Washington. They got forced because of rain, and they lost both games of a doubleheader September the 8th. So they never really recovered from it. It's just weird. Their pitching never recovered from it, blah, blah, blah. I just think doubleheaders are weird, man. You can really screw yourself up in one of those. And I know for Ole Miss it was – but it's not a normal –
It is a mental issue with the program right now in the postseason.
Yeah.
Lost two home regionals in a row.
Pressure. They feel
again, the energy gets sucked out of that place. I'm not blaming fans.
No.
It's not what I'm doing. It's
I'm
just
not either,
a feeling. I've had multiple coaches who do not coach at Ole Miss, and I've been just talking to them going, hey, what are you thinking? They go – they win more on the road. It's just a weird place.
Yeah.
It is a phenomenal place in the regular season. And in the postseason, as soon as any adversity hits, the energy just gets zapped. It's just a...
I told you, I don't go to games there. You cover baseball. I don't. I was there for that Monday, and it was weird.
Well, it was
and
weird. It was weird the night they beat them, too, and they,
right.
even though they won the game.
I told you. I said, man, this does not even look like anything resembling the same team I just covered last week. And I was in Hoover when they played, what, five games, four games? Hell, I don't know. I was there forever.
They pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed.
And in Hoover, man, they were loose. They got beat on that first day. And that second day, they almost lost. And fandom went crazy with, oh, we are Ole Miss. But they won the game. And from that point forward, man, it was gangbusters.
Yeah.
Like, they were awesome.
So.
I don't know. Baseball's,
yeah, we'll
baseball's a weird sport.
Favorite SEC football game on the road?
What
stadium you'd like to visit? Yeah, I'm assuming that's what he means.
I don't know. I used to really like visiting Tiger Stadium.
A little dull for you this last
night? Yeah. I was ready to get the hell out of there this past Saturday.
Well, it was an 8:15 kick.
It was, and it rained on the way in.
If you're in a really good
– field was wet.
If you're in a really good mood, LSU's the most fun.
Yeah.
If you're in a really good mood, you're just kind of hanging out, and it's fine and whatever.
Yeah. I wasn't in a great mood. The Cubs had just lost to the Cardinals that day. I was ready to get the hell out of
there. Some of this is media amenity standpoints. Auburn and Georgia are both really, really high for me. I really like going to Georgia games.
Yeah, you know, Auburn's moved them to another they're in a different
not a fan
deal.
Of that, honestly.
Yeah, it looks kind of weird.
Georgia's excellent. Georgia's really, really good. I've enjoyed every trip to Georgia over there.
Once you get in the stadium there, it's good. Having to go park and stuff's a pain in the ass.
See, I don't even remember that, but okay. I'll take your word for it. Which now, you know, you're picking East teams. Ole Miss only plays at that place once every 12 years, so it doesn't really matter.
I like games in Lexington.
Do what?
I like games in Lexington.
Do you really?
I do.
I've only been once to that.
Yeah.
All right, SEC baseball games on the road.
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt has the packages and really good food.
And it's in Nashville.
That's a good point. For weekends, for whatever reason, I really like going to Auburn for SEC baseball game weekends. I have a really good time over the course of the weekends in Auburn. Once you get there, I have really great weekends in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
I'm pissed off till I get there because of the travel. But I have a really good time when you have some time to get around.
It's only 1 hour further than LSU.
I'm just telling you, something about it I hate. Maybe it's 40, being on 40
for a while. It's probably 40. 40's horrible.
Maybe that's what it is. It's just 40. But no, Arkansas is very high on the list. Very, very high. I really like baseball weekends in Fayetteville.
There's a lot of cool places in Fayetteville.
The worst one is Tuscaloosa, and it's not even a doubt, a thought, or anything.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Like, the best place to eat there is, like, Hooters.
It's awful. Yeah, you end up at, like, Baumhauer's.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, fine.
Whatever.
Yeah. Tourist trap.
There's some cool places in Fayetteville, though. Campbell and I have explored it a little bit. There's some cool places.
Yeah, I'm all good with Fayetteville.
Yeah.
All good. Let's see. College football bucket list stadium. I'd like to go to an Army Navy game.
Iowa. I want to go to Iowa.
You want to go to Iowa?
I do. I want to go to a game at Iowa. Okay. I'm totally serious.
The hospital thing?
I want to see the hospital thing because I think it's really cool. I'll have to carry my wet wipes with me that day.
Okay.
I like their uniforms. Something about Iowa. I like Iowa.
Iowa.
I want to go to Army Navy.
Okay.
Kind of want to go to Bedlam. I've heard it's really, really cool.
Okay.
OUOSU. I won't probably ever, but I wouldn't mind.
Okay.
But to go to a game at Washington. I've heard it's really neat.
Good there. The water and everything.
Yeah, all that stuff. That's about it. Places that stick out in my mind.
Considering what we do for a living, it takes something pretty specific to stick out. Otherwise, it's a
football
game.
Yeah, it's just another game.
Fine.
Yeah, right.
I've seen 30 football stadiums. I'm good.
I'd like to go to a really big Big Ten game where Iowa's playing. I would. I would like that.
Iowa hosting Ohio State or
something
Michigan
like that.
Or
I'm in. Yeah, I'd get my Iowa sweatshirt and go for it.
Okay. Could Gunnar Hoglund potentially be in the same ballpark as Stephen Head when it's all said and done? No pressure there, Gunnar. Just the only three-time All-American.
Well, yeah, if Stephen comes to the game and they're in the same ballpark, then yeah, of course, they're right
there.
They're
in the same ballpark.
I mean, yeah.
Stephen and I have been in the same ballpark numerous times.
I have been in the same ballpark with Mike Trout just this year.
You have.
Me and Mike Trout, same ballpark.
Look. Stephen is the only three-time All-American in program history.
There's no pressure, Gunner.
He was a Golden Spikes finalist.
No pressure, Gunner.
Gunner is very talented. He's very talented.
Is he the next Stephen Head or
He's
not?
He's hitting more than I thought he would hit. Now, look, it is fall of a freshman year. I mean, it's why I'm not covering the crap out of this. Like, there's a lot of media opportunities, but pitchers in the fall that do really well suck in the spring, and pitchers who suck in the fall are great in the spring.
You are such an apologist. You know this Delta State game could go bad, and you're just –
Oh, I'm going to the game next week. I can't wait.
You're just defending Bianco.
I'm going to Delta State. I'm all about it.
I'm telling you right now, I'm writing a column –
A 12-inning game against the Fighting Okra. I'm there.
If they lose to the Okra, I'm writing a column that just leads off with, it's time to fire Mike
Bianco. You can't
even
beat a D2 school.
You can't beat a D2 school. This obviously isn't working.
Getting out-recruited in your own state.
How did you let that kid get away?
That kid.
Saturday was deplorable. What happened against Tennessee Tech clearly impacted your edge. You've lost it. Have some pride and step away.
You've lost three straight games against non-Power 5 programs.
See? It's right there.
Yeah. Hopefully Gunner is not going into his freshman season going, well, Stephen Head's in sight. Let's start with, you know, finding a role in the pitching staff, getting some ABs. But, yeah, look.
I'm going to come to the media day and I'm going to say, so, Gunner, do you anticipate being a three-time All-American? And if not, why not?
Do you not believe in your abilities? Is that the – dang, I mean, yeah.
Can you imagine someone will look at you like, what in the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. Gunner, do you know Stephen Head? Have you seen his stats?
Do you plan to top those?
I know it was the live bat era and all, but still, have you looked at those stats? Oh, gosh. Continue in a second. First podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting. Understand your market. Pretty big deal there. A leader in condo financing in Oxford and the float down option. So contact Jason Lowe at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Someone said rivals will relieve me of my duties by Wednesday after picking you up. Oh, God. The podcast also brought to you in part by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Have you been thinking about that golf trip with the guys you'll never forget? Or maybe that anniversary trip she'll never forget. Whether you've dreamed of playing St. Andrews or sitting at a cafe in Paris, talk to John Edwards before you try to do it yourself. Why use John? Well, he's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. It can be little things like a breakfast. It can be big things. It's worth checking this out. John knows he traveled the globe for 37 years before getting into the travel business, so he knows the extra attention needed to make a special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. So if you're thinking about going with the boys to Pebble Beach or taking her to Napa for the vacation of her dreams, call John. Give him some parameters and a budget and let him give you some options. And know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. Call John 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Podcast also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. Restore serenity to your soul at Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. It's inside the Westin Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. Escape from the everyday and rejuvenate yourself in their luxury spa today. Also, after you get through with your spa, go to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, again, right there inside the Jackson Westin. Sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight. The Ole Miss volleyball team returns home Sunday, 1:30. They square off with the LSU Tigers. As always, admission is free at the Gillum Center. The Ole Miss soccer team returns home on Sunday as they take on Arkansas at 2 p.m. For more info, visit olemisssports.com. And while you're at olemisssports.com, check out Square Jam. It returns for 2018. You can join the Ole Miss Hoops teams for a night on the square, October the 19th, 6:15 p.m. For more info, visit olemisssports.com. And as you know, the Ole Miss football team returns to the Vault Saturday for homecoming. They take on Louisiana Monroe. Tickets can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com.
You keep calling them Louisiana Monroe. They don't like that. They want to be called ULM.
I'm only reading. Ole Miss sent me this reader.
I'm just telling you. You should know better.
What Paris referred to them as Louisiana Monroe. If that's how he wants them referred to. That's
well, he
how
refers to them. I mean, Paris Alford refers to them as Northeastern Louisiana still most of the time.
Well, but I'm not talking about. I'm talking about Paris Buchanan.
I'm aware of that. I just changed it over.
You know, Paris Alford.
What do you think we have to do? What do you think we have to do to get Matt to get up on the podium and go? It wasn't no 25,000 to nothing, was it, Neil? After the game, we can pull that off.
That'd be awesome. I'd laugh the rest of the press conference. I would be utterly useless. I'd have to leave. Would be fantastic. That would literally make me so happy. I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. What podcast am I currently listening to? Well, I'm finishing up Slow Burn, and then otherwise I'm just kind of on my normal rotation. Let me pull it up on my phone quickly.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Let's see.
I mean, Slow Burn is so good.
It's
outstanding.
I listen to a lot of Adam Carolla. I listen to a couple golf podcasts every time. No Laying Up, The Clubhouse with Shane Bacon, The Foreplay with Barstool. Let's see what else. The Greatest Pod in the South just popped up in my queue. This morning. Reasonable Doubt, some, depending on what the topic is. Depends. The Rewatchables, Bill Simmons looking at old movies, pretty good, depending on the movie. Really like that. That's it. That's kind of the main thing right now. That's all I got.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of Carolla, too. You got me on that. I like his show with Dr. Drew. It's funny.
And the Adam and Dr. Drew show.
Yeah, and it makes me feel better about myself.
It's quick. It's only about 35 minutes.
Yeah, and I love his show with Garagos, Unreasonable Doubt.
Yeah.
Love it. And then I listen to a couple of basketball podcasts because I'm kind of weird, but that's about it.
There's a question about scotch. I probably will get into scotch at some point in my life. That time is not now. I still can't quite develop a taste for it. Even though I really like really hot bourbon and different things, the scotch just still tastes like someone poured water down a piece of wood for me.
Yeah, I haven't developed a taste for it yet.
Let me think about influential Ole Miss employees. I don't really want to do that off the top of my head. Let me give me a minute, a day. Maybe I'll come back on the board and answer that.
Julie Owen has an opportunity this weekend to be an influential employee and do the right thing.
This weekend?
Yeah, look, read about it in Neil's picks. There's an accusation being made.
You think it involves compliance?
I think it should. I think you want to do things the right way, and you don't want to be around people who are conspiring to – bring someone down so that they can cash in financially. And that's what I believe has happened.
All right. We got a question for each of us. Mine is, what is the current state of your golf game? The fall and spring offer the best weather for golf, but you're covering football and baseball. How often do you practice and play? During the summer, I was playing a lot, multiple times a week, hitting some type of golf ball every day. I haven't really played much. I've played in a couple scrambles, including one yesterday. A lot of them work-related for the most part. But I'm getting a lot better. I mean, I've probably been at it really 3 years, I guess, now, and I think I have a decent chance of being a single-digit handicap in the next 6 to 12 months. I think that's an easy goal that's attainable. So I've improved a lot. I'm playing pretty well. And I'll begin to play more. I like playing in the cold weather because the course is empty. I can get done with a podcast at 10 a.m. I can go out, play by myself. It's kind of fun to me to be in my own thoughts, have a little McCrady in me a little bit there. And it's good. So I'll actually play more in the winter than most people will just because of the way my schedule allows. I don't cover basketball. I've got more time. So, but yeah, I'm playing a good bit. I mean, when I can. But no, it's been pretty slow. I've only played one recreational round of golf that wasn't work or tournament related in the last 6 weeks. So, yeah, not a lot. Neil's state of Neil's golf game is not very good, and we actually were trying to get a match up between he and Nick Weaver of Blue Delta Jeans and Ben Craddock. So
I'm
we're trying to get that done, and
hoping for that.
You're hoping for that?
Yeah, of course.
I played a scramble with Nick a few weeks ago, and then I've seen you play. I've never seen Craddock swing a golf club, so I don't know where we are there, but we'll see.
I enjoyed the golf thing. I just don't have time.
Yeah,
but I liked it.
Yeah, it was a little therapy for you. Kind of get out there by yourself, just start hitting.
Oh, no,
hitting
no.
Things.
I loved that. If I had clubs, yeah, and a place to go hit,
just kind of chilling. Yeah.
I liked that. I got off in my own.
Yeah.
I'm one of these people, and there's a lot of people that are like this. I'm not rare. I need alone time.
Yeah.
Like I drove back from Baton Rouge the other day. Mostly with the radio off.
Just
when I wasn't talking to you, the radio was off, just kind of off in my own thoughts, just kind of sorting through some things, getting myself mentally prepared for the next week.
Your question is, do you believe Durant will leave Golden State and create an opening for some other team in the West after the season? Can Boston turn their loaded core of talent into Warriors East?
Yes, I do believe Durant will leave. I don't know where he'll go. There are rumors about New York. Those seem to have some legs. There are rumors about the Lakers that make some sense if he's willing to do the LeBron thing and not be overshadowed by LeBron. And Durant's a weird person. I mean, he is. He's a great player. Weird dude. I mean, he's all over the place. Rumors about him returning to Oklahoma City that I don't buy. I don't think they're legit. But I think he leaves, and Boston has an incredible collection of talent. And I think a Boston Warriors finals this year, if we could get one where everybody's healthy, it would be a lot of fun.
Question here. Tiger is minus 220 against Phil. Should I try to pay my house off? Well, it's one round of golf. I would not recommend trying to pay your house off. Phil looked like garbage in Paris and then shot 7-under in Napa yesterday, so beats me. Who knows? In one round.
And Tiger's game's still weird.
Tiger gets tired. You don't know what kind of shape he's in. I mean, he had no energy in Paris. So, yeah, I'm – frankly, at 220, give me Phil. One round of golf at a 2-1 underdog,
yeah,
I'll take that.
Yeah,
and
for
see
sure.
I mean, from a value bet, that's what makes the most
absolutely
sense. Absolutely. So I'll do that.
Tiger's better than Phil, but Tiger's still somewhat erratic.
Little shot at our boy also in this one as he continues to make culinary takes on Twitter. Says, why does my five-year-old select better restaurants and have a more diverse food palate than Russell Johnson here in this post? I actually was talking to somebody last night about this when I first saw the question. I've got an idea, and I have a sponsor for it already, Neil. You like
really?
When I say sponsor. So
I like that word.
I have a sponsor. We should go get 10 hamburgers from around town. We've already picked the 10 locations with a person last night.
Okay.
Essentially, either put them in nondescript bags or blindfold Mr. Johnson and have him rate every burger 1 to 10 and see how he actually rates the hamburgers in Oxford, Mississippi.
Okay, I don't want to pile on our boy Russell, but I have a suspicion, and I don't know this, that okay, like Russell, his idea of a hamburger is very plain.
Well, we can dress it however he'd like. I mean, if he wants it with just salt on it, that's fine. I don't care about that.
So,
yeah, I'm not going to pour tomatoes down on every burger. Just however. No, we will condomize it, however.
Accessorize it.
Yeah, whatever. However he'd like.
Okay.
But, yeah, have 10 of those dressed burgers, however he chooses, in a row.
Oh, I think it's a fantastic
idea. Give him a bite and see who he picks.
Video it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I picked out the 10, and I have a sponsor that will purchase the food and even get a hat for him to wear with the sponsor's name on it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You in?
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. I'm in for anything like that, man. I'm
okay.
That's like when you guys mentioned the golf thing with Nick and Ben.
Not?
I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. I got a day. What do you want to do?
It might take a day.
It might take a day out there.
We're gonna play at the university. Malloy's in on it, so it's an easier course, much wider. If you just hit the son of a gun, go find it and hit it again. You'll lose half the balls.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I've told y'all I'm in. I'll have to borrow someone's clubs again, but I'm in.
You'll probably have to share one set. What's the difference? So, anyway.
I mean, I really didn't need all those clubs. It's like, just give me like four. I need a driver, and I need like a three iron.
Well, we ended up, I found it later. We left an 8-iron out on the course that I didn't find for like 3 months.
Did you find it?
Yeah, we finally got it. Was fine because you had that shot, and Jonathan just handed you his for some reason. So you swung his club on that one shot, and then you.
I remember his club felt really good.
Felt different than your club?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Might have been placebo, but anyway.
I don't know.
Jonathan
was like amazing because he would stand there with me and goes, well, we'd talk about it, and I'd just kind of look at it and go, yeah, never mind. Let's. And then he'd come up with another plan.
He saved you 10 shots at least.
Yeah, well, and I kind of learned a little
doing
that. And I was actually, and I think I was more shocked than anyone in the room or on the course, that I wasn't terrible with the iron in my hand.
No, you're okay with the iron.
I mean, it was
a problem.
Yeah, I was actually okay with an iron in my hand, and I putted better than any of y'all thought I would.
Yeah, especially out there with the greens as hard as they are. I expected really poor putting.
And I knew I'd be a good putter. Y'all think I'm kidding about this putt-putt thing. I'm a good putt-putter.
Yeah, you were fine.
Like, I'm a really good putt-putter.
We get a little more introspective here with the next question.
Okay.
Best advice you've ever received in your life?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't want to go super deep here.
I'll tell you one.
Okay.
It's something I've actually told somebody else in the last few weeks. Something somebody told me a few years ago resonated. When you have a decision to make, and it's a fairly weighty decision or a decision that emotionally has something that's probably going to affect you in some way.
Yeah.
Do whatever is going to make you regret that side of it later, tomorrow, the next week, and down the road. When you think ahead and you look back and you go, which way am I going to regret and do that? Because
right.
I think a lot of times if you look at it and you got a really hard decision to make or you've got something going on, you go, do I want to expend some emotional energy? I think it's almost better to kind of look later and go, okay, is this something that's going to keep me awake because I didn't do it or because I did do it? And then almost kind of bake a decision off that a little bit.
Well, for me, it's that being able to almost kind of demand quiet time where I get away from stuff. I've discovered for me personally.
Figure out some me time, whatever that means. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't mean alone time.
I mean,
for everybody,
all like Peloton jokes aside.
Yeah.
Seriously, for me, I have a tendency to get super self negative, like more than you all have ever seen. Like, I joke about it because that's kind of a defense mechanism, but it's not. I can get scary bad about it. And I have found if I get up when the house is quiet and have a cup of coffee, I'll unload the dishwasher. I try not to spend that hour like on my phone. I found when I do that, it's not as effective. If I kind of just calm down, think, and then I'll go up and exercise. And it's really funny. There are a couple of instructors who I'd used to not like on Peloton who I now really like because their message is very subtly positive, and I take that positivity into my day. And for me, that is such a win to start my day thinking positively.
I'm running into some issues. It's the time of the year where I run a lot more. Frankly, I lose some weight and different things, and I've never had this problem before. I'm getting super bored on medium to long runs right now, and yeah. I don't know how to break it. Like, it's never been that way. I've been able to before run 8-10 miles and be fine. I'm dying at like mile four right now.
Well,
bored
that's what,
out of my mind.
That's what happened to me when I kind of stopped. I got really bored.
Just
to where it was destructive.
Yeah, I just don't even feel like doing it. And I'm just like, yeah. Oh God, I'm dying. Like, there's nothing.
The only time that I really enjoyed when I ran, competing against myself, I enjoyed it. All right, I'm gonna beat this time.
Well, and there's still some of that, but you're in the middle of it still going, well, I'm still 4 miles left, huh?
What I remember was the last marathon I ran, and it was hotter than hell, and it was humid, and I didn't feel good, and I was on steroids basically because of stuff, and I shouldn't have done it. But I can remember thinking 6-7 miles in, and then from then on just almost constantly, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
This isn't – I mean, it was like, I already have the stupid medal. I have this medal. Why am I doing this again? And it was – I don't know. So for me, the Peloton's kind of good because I can mix it up.
And what sport is there American win in first, the Ryder Cup, the World Cup, or the U.S. Open in tennis for the men? Well, it's the Ryder Cup because they're going to set up the course in a way to allow them to bomb and gouge at Whistling Straits in 2 years, and they're going to win the home Ryder Cup. The World Cup, we're not close. And in U.S. Open men's tennis, I don't know who it would be. Yeah, I don't know.
That's easy, Ryder Cup.
Yeah, two years from now, they're going to win at Whistling Straits at home because they get to set the course up.
You think if I told you –
Yeah.
If I told you 70 years, does the U.S. win the World Cup in the next 70 years?
I mean, sure. 70? I mean.
We're way behind.
I understand that, but it's a long time. I mean, I'd rather take the yes than the no, it that way.
Yeah.
Again, if I'm just betting with 50-50 odds, I'd rather have a lot of chances at it over 70 years.
I do think that 2026 World Cup in the U.S. is going to shock people at how big soccer has grown by that point. The MLS growth, I think it's a sport that – I told you know who I'm talking about. There was an SEC person who told me that men's soccer is on their radar.
Brandon Mezcal you've liked so far? I don't have an answer here because I just want to drink it.
The Casamigos.
Okay. Yeah, no clue. Could the best unit on defense next year be the linebackers? Jones is graded out pretty well for a freshman. Ruggs and Clark are at least athletic. And the staff seems to at least like Hess. Could that be the best group next season?
Yeah, they got to add a couple guys. They need to win a major recruiting battle. If you told me N'Kobe Dean's out there with them, then yeah, I'd see that.
What should be the most realistic expectations for basketball? We've talked about that. Just look the way Kermit wants them to look more than anything else. Kind of a bad Luke thing almost.
Yeah, be a more efficient defensive team.
Be disciplined.
Be a little more disciplined, a lot more disciplined. Maybe Terrence Davis, Brian Tyree, maybe some of the young kids.
Just stamp on the program. Season. Where that is,
I think. But again, man, if this is NCAA tournament or bust in your mind, I think you're poised for disappointment.
Baseball expectations: host a regional and go to a super regional.
The expectations are to go to the College World Series.
Yeah, right. Of course. Let's see. I don't see a D coordinator before the end of the season, barring something crazy. Let's see. Oh, yeah, it's actually a pretty good one. Now that it's the off season, what is just the normal strokes of deodorant for Mr. McCready?
I'm battling with that right now because I catch myself counting and I have no reason to count.
Just put it on.
So I just kind of put it on.
Because you don't have a default involuntary put deodorant on, do you?
Not really.
You should almost like move to a spray for a little while just to get you out of
sticky.
The reflex thing. Oh, really? Is that
so bad? Sticky.
Velocity is Hoglund hitting this fall? I think he's been like 88 to 91. It'll go up. It's the fall.
What'd Steven Head throw?
88 to 91.
There you go.
Yeah.
On our way.
Yeah, he's a legit two-way player. This year, I don't know. I mean, they're really good offensively. He's got to fight for at-bats. There's going to be one or two players that Ole Miss fans are used to playing a lot that are not going to play right now. So, anyway. But yeah, I mean, sure. We'll see. So we got next page. Had a lot of questions. Appreciate people for that.
While you're searching for one, I'll tell you this. This podcast and my post-game columns are sponsored by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust is based in Madison, Mississippi, but it represents clients in 24 states, has advisors in 3 states. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. Regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. I've seen them. It's incredible the amount of detail that goes into them, planned out years ahead, something that would give you as a if you're a parent, would give you great peace of mind. If you're a spouse, great peace of mind. It's definitely worth your time to explore. Cookie cutter financial planners put you in a box. It's hard to explain what that means, but you know, they fit you into a predetermined kind of path. Pinnacle Trust doesn't do it that way. They build a box around you. Learn more about Pinnacle Trust. Go to pintrust.com. That's PINNtrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast, and you'll get 10% off your first year's fee.
Podcast is brought to you by Visit Oxford. Remember, if you listen to this, as soon as it goes up, 2 p.m., double-decker bus tour today. That's the Friday before every Ole Miss home game. Also, get your Wizard of Oz tickets now. They're at the Ford Center on October 21st. The Oxford Art Crawls, October 23rd, and much, much more. You can find out additional information there at visitoxfordms.com/events. We're going to have some giveaways coming up and more courtesy of Visit Oxford. And always on Thursdays in front of Off-Square Books, Thacker Mountain Radio, 6 p.m. for that live show. All right, here we go. Here's one. Chase, you mentioned on the podcast that there were public national figures that wanted the UM chancellor job in the past. Could get some names. The only name that I'm real feel good about putting out publicly, because I've heard this from so many places, it's not violating any type of source, is Robert Robbins, who is the current president at the University of Arizona. He was the president and CEO of the Texas Medical Center in Houston from 12 to 17 when a lot of this popped up the first or second times, but had a resume very similar to Dan Jones. I don't know that they wanted to go down somewhat of the same path. Basically, a famous, I don't know, world-renowned surgeon, I guess, would be the way to put it. Prior to that, he was the chairman of the Department of Cardiothoracic Surgery at Stanford University School of Medicine. He's got tons of cardiovascular service surgery accolades. He graduated with a B.S. in chemistry from Millsaps. His medical degree is from the University of Mississippi, and then he's got a lot of surgery training at the University of Mississippi, Stanford, and Columbia. On his resume, and since he's been in Arizona, I know he has gained a lot of notoriety for his popular opinions with athletics. He's been very player-friendly when it comes to legislation and different things from an athletic standpoint. So he's been an interesting name as I followed kind of his career for the first time. I heard it as a potential chancellor for Ole Miss, and I know he was, being with Mississippi Ties, I know he had a lot of interest at one point or another along the way. So that's the one name that I feel okay about talking about publicly. But there's a few. I mean, there's a couple sitting presidents that would be incredibly interested at this point that I think people would like. I never thought anything to do with Condoleezza Rice was serious or real. Let's see. Matt Luke is surviving this season, barring scandal. There's nothing on the field that could fire Matt Luke at the end of the season.
No, it would take something off the field.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
The odds of that are astronomical.
Yeah. Low. Astronomically low.
Astronomically low, yes,
yeah,
Matt.
Sorry.
I think the odds of Matt having some horrible personal scandal are very, very, very low.
And you said that about every Ole Miss head coach along the way?
No.
No? Not so much?
Not so much.
Matt Luke and Mike Bianco are over here, and then there's some other ones over here. Yeah. Like it's we have two sides of the room that we're putting people in.
Yeah, I feel good about Mike's chances than
I have.
Do
Blue Delta jeans unbutton themselves when you've eaten a big steak dinner? No, but They will stretch with you a little bit, though.
They will. They'll stretch.
Got more give than you think to be denim.
Fortunately for me right now, I'm kind of going the other way. So you are.
You're going to have to have them taken in again.
I might.
Might have to have them recut at some point. You just keep.
I've kind of found a little routine that works.
Have you? All right. Who's Bryce Harper playing for next year?
The Cubs.
Is he?
Yep.
Feel good about that?
I do.
Okay. I don't have a guess to the date that Vitter's tenure is over at Ole Miss. I mean, I think some news comes out by the end of the calendar year regarding something. That's just kind of where I'm willing to go right now.
Doesn't it have to?
It has to. I wrote handcuffs, but it's really hostage. The university is being held hostage right now by this tenure.
Because if you're going to keep him,
you got to do something publicly to do something
to
positively.
Fix it. Right, right. You can't just keep.
You got to help his profile if that's what you're doing.
You can't keep going like this.
Look, there's a lot of reasons that people don't fully understand why the IHL is somewhat necessary because of some dynamics. There's a lot more to it than people don't realize. But okay. In saying that, you're dealing with a board that every one of those guys, while they're very smart individuals and very qualified, Ole Miss is not their primary interest, per se. So it's a really tough thing when you've got a board that only a few people on it have strong ties to a university when you're making this decision. I mean, that's just always going to be the negative to having a state board instead of a college board.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's not a board of regents where everyone's focused on one thing.
Yeah.
In some ways, financially, Ole Miss kind of props up everybody else, and they don't want that to end. Because Ole Miss, I mean, the state of Mississippi has too many colleges.
It does.
There's too many Division I schools.
Many.
Or not Division I, but just period.
Too many schools.
In
too many
state.
Division I schools.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's part of the problem is they kind of need some, you know, bonding and different things. They need certain things put in there structurally that, frankly, doesn't benefit Ole Miss, but they use Ole Miss to kind of benefit the greater good, if you will. And,
well, I mean, you know, if you look at it logically, and it's way too late to change anything, when it was done, I mean, to put – two large institutions basically an hour and a half apart or 2 hours, whatever it is, in the northern part of the state made really no sense.
We always talk about the guy that got Ole Miss into the SEC should have a statue out in front of Vaught Hemingway. The person who made the decision to put Mississippi State that close or to have two schools instead of one should not have a statue because the University of Mississippi with both those schools combined into one would be a superpower.
Yes.
A superpower in
yes.
athletics.
Yeah, for sure.
It would be LSU. It would be a very, very high class Arkansas.
Yeah.
Because of the talent, the state versus Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean,
Arkansas, what they've done with the border state thing is just freaking genius.
Yeah,
it's just
they had to do it and they did.
They had to do something and they did. They found something that really worked. It's when you go up there and you see where all the kids are from, it's this tight circle, but you can see where that circle
all
is.
All borders.
It's
yeah.
amazing.
When dust settles, anything substantive coming from Rebel Rags case? I don't think so, personally. Just my opinion. I don't.
That was Chase Parham.
It was.
P-A-R-H-A-M. Parham.
Do you?
No.
Okay. Will there be a chance for those of us who live out of town to have a live event to meet you guys in person, Rebel Grove road trip? Look, we've talked about it. We'd have to have a lot of confidence that we could fill up a room in a city outside of a certain area. It's possible. It is scheduled. We haven't announced it yet. We're going to be in Jackson in December. We're going to do another Jackson thing in December, coinciding with that basketball game down there when they play at the Coliseum.
Yep.
So we'll see Jackson people there. We talked about it. We've got a couple of people interested in helping with that, but we'd have to get a pretty big effort to do more than that. So we'll see. I don't know. At this point, I'm not sure.
A lot depends on things that are out of our control. We need things to kind of be going well.
People have to be excited for those type of events.
Yeah. And we
can pull off the one in Jackson because we can pull some strings and do some stuff. And it'll be all right.
I mean, Chase tries to buy football players, but it's hard to do.
It's not as easy as they acted like in the class.
I know.
In the
you
class,
thought when you
it?
Took that tutorial, you thought it was going to be a lot easier than it was.
It's really not. It's
no.
it's more complicated. There's competition and stuff.
I know. It's crazy. And they keep raising the bid. It's just, oh. You think you got
it. The dollar doesn't go as far anymore, I'll tell you.
You think you have it done, and then state you jumps in, and then it just gets complicated.
State you, you say?
Generic state
you. State you, you say?
State you.
State you?
Yep.
State you.
I never heard back from my my friends at...
Hind Leg, hadn't hollered at yet?
Hadn't hollered back yet.
Tell you one that might be interesting if we get people to do it. I don't know how much of a draw we have down there. I'd have to kind of gauge that. I don't know where basketball is that week or if it would matter for one day. A live show the week of the Ole Miss Tulane baseball series.
Well, I'm all for any
excuse to get us for,
to New Orleans.
Say, New Orleans for a weekend, not the worst thing in the world. We could maybe pull something out right up.
That would be
right
fun. There.
Yeah. All right, last question.
Okay.
It's compliance related after the news of the week. Says it's twofold.
Okay.
What exactly is the job of the compliance department? Should be more like Bama, and they find something going on, they blame and fire an assistant coach and then self-reported to NCAA. Also, in your opinion, is the promotion from within the compliance department just more of a We Are Ole Miss? Should we have taken more comfort if they had hired, say, the assistant director of compliance from UNC, Clemson, Alabama, or Auburn? I certainly would have. Look. Okay. Second part first.
I think Julie's going to do a really good job.
I get the skepticism from people. I completely
understand. I
understand
it. Sure, I do too.
And it's just it's kind of back to the Vitter thing. It is the mood of the whole place right now.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand.
Oh, I totally understand it.
I'd probably have the same opinion were I not in the business I was in.
Yeah, if I were just an alum and I lived in Atlanta or something.
You roll your eyes and you move on.
From the outside, I'd be like, oh, my God. I get that.
Coaches typically hate bad compliance people and love good compliance people in a way to help them. And she's received really high marks from coaches that I've spoken with and spoken with through intermediaries in the last few days.
They like her a lot.
There is a line to get to because, look, everybody's so focused on the NCAA thing, and I completely understand why. Duh, that's obvious.
Sure.
But in some ways, that was a secondary scenario. Compliance's job on the day-to-day is figuring out how to get things accomplished inside the rules or up against the line. You want to accomplish this. Okay, let's figure out a way to accomplish this that maybe is not the way you're doing it, but let me find some loopholes. Let me play with it. We'll get it done.
Shades of gray.
Yeah, that's the job of compliance is to, okay, coach really needs this. All right, let's figure it out. Let's see where this goes. It's the day-to-day stuff that people don't really focus on with compliance. That's what good compliance departments do. They keep you out of trouble by finding ways to achieve your goals in a gray area, risk management loophole.
And hopefully
kind
for
of
Julie and for Matt, because this is about football for the most part, hopefully for them, this ridiculous stipulation about the recruiting restriction.
Oh, it's going to be a nightmare.
Hopefully that gets eliminated in the appeal. Hopefully they win that form of the appeal and they can get started normally. Otherwise, man, what a nightmare. What a nightmare for everyone associated with it.
Complete and utter.
I mean, just craziness. Where you can only bring a kid to campus once. You talk about work for compliance, work for football. Oh, my God. It's insane. Ole Miss fans, and I'm not criticizing fans. I want to go to a bowl game. I get it. Let's say you win 6 or 7, whatever. Missing a bowl game and having that restriction lifted is a win. An enormous win. So much bigger than anything that you could get out of going to the Birmingham Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So much.
Yeah.
I think Julie's going to do a really good job. Julie's been in Oklahoma. I don't know if you know about Oklahoma, but Oklahoma.
So is the last guy.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I don't know. I think there's a different mentality. It's my opinion.
Okay.
I don't know either of them all that well personally. I just think they're.
This didn't come from a coach. I was talking to someone yesterday that has listened to her speak, knows her. And they, had you heard this person talking, you would have felt much better about her attitude toward NCAA people and situations versus some of the responses you've gotten out of that building in past time. Put it that way.
My guess is that there will be a little more punch.
Yeah, that's kind of the thought.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Send us the trivia question and answer. We'll get you a $200 gift certificate from Blue Delta Jeans. Put it in the mail. Drop it off. Meet you somewhere. However, we got to get that done, depending on where you live or if you're coming to town. And we'll take care of you. So Free Gas Friday with Oxford Exxon, Blue Delta with us, and we will talk to you again on Monday.